Hello, fellow law nerds. Welcome to an emergency episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewire.news podcast hosted by the legal journalism team that just doesn't know what the hell the Supreme Court is doing anymore. Just abject confusion over here from Team Legal. I'm Imani Gandhi.
And I'm Jess Piclow. Rewire.news is dedicated to bringing you the best reproductive rights and social justice news, commentary, and analysis on the web. And the Team Legal podcast is part of that mission. So a big thanks to our subscribers and a welcome to our new listeners.
Today, the Supreme Court rejected an appeal by the ACLU to reconsider a decision from the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals that allowed Kentucky's mandatory forced ultrasound law to take effect. This decision is bad news for abortion rights in Kentucky and across the country, and we're going to explain why. So, let's talk about this Kentucky law that the Roberts Court ruled could take effect. It's called HB2, and like a lot of bills that are called HB2, it is fucking terrible.
Terrible.
So, Jess, what does this law actually do?
Okay, it does three things. First, it requires a pregnant patient to undergo a mandatory ultrasound, which in practice is usually a transvaginal probe, at least 24 hours before their abortion.
Second, HB2 includes what's called a speech and display requirement. A speech and display requirement says that a physician must place the ultrasound images in the patient's view and read a state-mandated script about the images, even if the patient does not want to see the images or hear the description.
Yep, they can close their eyes, put their hands over their ears, doesn't matter. Okay, and third, the law requires the abortion provider use an ultrasound transducer or a fetal heart rate monitor so that the pregnant patient can be forced to hear fetal heart tones if they are audible. Again, forced, whether they want to or not, to hear heart tones if they're able.
In January 2017, the ACLU filed a lawsuit challenging Kentucky's forced ultrasound law. In that lawsuit, the plaintiffs alleged that the law violates the First Amendment by forcing them to deliver unwanted government-mandated speech, which is exactly what the law does. In particular, the ACLU said that the law forces physicians to convey information that falls outside expected ethical standards and practices for medical-informed consent. Basically, if patients don't want an ultrasound image described to them and if they don't want to hear fetal heart tones, then they shouldn't have to. And forcing doctors to give them that information over objections is unethical.
And it's a pretty straightforward argument, which is why in September 2017, U.S. District Court Judge David Hale struck down HB2, stating that the law violated the First Amendment rights of physicians. But then, in April 2019, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, led by a Trump appointee, said, ha ha, just kidding, the law's totally constitutional, it can take effect. Then in September, the ACLU filed a cert petition and asked the Roberts Court to reverse that Sixth Circuit decision. And today, the Roberts Court rejected that petition.
So what does that mean exactly?
Immediately, it means Kentucky's law can take effect.
That's pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah.
And by pretty fucking sweet, I mean it's not sweet at all.
Terrible.
And you have to remember that Kentucky only has one abortion clinic remaining, so this is an added burden on patients trying to get an abortion in Kentucky.
It is, and not all those patients are from Kentucky either. Some come from places like Indiana and Ohio, so the burden then bleeds into patients from nearby states as well. So the decision also means that other states can follow suit and pass their own mandated ultrasound laws if they haven't already done so.
And given my love, my deep-seated, real, true love for circuit splits.
It's real, too.
I mean, it's like I feel it in my heart. You know, I almost love circuit splits more than I love Outlander. And that's saying a lot. I know. It's saying a lot. But it means that the court is okay with a circuit split. I guess.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
North Carolina and the Fourth Circuit had ruled that a similar law was unconstitutional several years ago. So today's decision exacerbates that circuit split and furthers this idea that abortion rights law is really just a patchwork of state rights.
Yep.
And it basically means that these fucking Trump appointees are doing incredible damage right out of the gate. Judge John Bush, who wrote the decision for the Sixth Circuit, would only use the term fetus in scare quotes. Quote unquote fetus. I mean,
fetus.
Why are you saying quote unquote fetus? Like a fetus is something that's some imaginary mythical thing that doesn't really exist. Jesus Christ on a crouton.
It's so bad. It's so bad. And the decision not to take the Kentucky case also shows that anti-choice advocates effectively have more First Amendment rights than abortion providers.
Can you explain what that means? Ugh. Because this drives me freaking bananas.
Bananas, like hardcore. Okay, so remember NIFLA versus Becerra, Imani? That's the Supreme Court case that struck California's law mandating fake clinics, aka crisis pregnancy centers, disclose a couple things. Things like the fact that no doctors actually work there, or that they aren't medical clinics, or that California law actually covers reproductive health care services, including abortion. Do you remember that case?
I do remember that case. And I also remember the reason that the Supreme Court struck that California law. Do you want to know what that reason is?
What was it?
Because it violated the First Amendment rights of the fraudsters running these fake clinics.
How?
HB 2 was widely condemned by the medical community because it violates medical ethics and the standard of care in treating patients. And SCOTUS just does not give a fuck.
Nope. Meanwhile, anti-choice clinics are out there lying to patients, like trying to get people in the doors to make money off of services that aren't even real for them. And the Supreme Court is like, nope, do not tell people that that's what you're doing because that is a First Amendment violation. Like, what? I'm losing my goddamn mind. I mean, it's pretty clear that the court is going to strike down any disclosure law that it feels are quote unquote pro-choice and uphold disclosure laws that it views are quote unquote pro-life. And like you said, it suggests the conservative majority is fine with circuit splits and also willfully misinterpreting abortion rights precedent, because that's what the Sixth Circuit did here with Planned Parenthood versus Casey in order to uphold this particular restriction.
And if you want to know more about the ways in which the Sixth Circuit completely misread Planned Parenthood versus Casey to reach this decision, you should go back and listen to our October 7th episode where we went into grave detail about Kentucky's forced ultrasound law and how it violates the First Amendment rights of physicians and how it's basically a huge clusterfuck that shouldn't be a law, but it is a law because nothing matters anymore and nihilism is ruling the day.
It is. I mean, informed consent now means violating medical ethics and lying to patients.
Yeah, pretty sweet. And frankly, this decision could spell trouble for later this spring in June Medical Services versus Gee, because that's exactly what happened in that case, right? The Fifth Circuit willfully misinterpreted Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt to rule that Louisiana's clinic shutdown law could take effect despite the fact that it is identical to the Texas law.
Identical!
To the Texas law that the court struck down in Whole Woman's Health. So essentially, the court is saying that it's okay for the Sixth Circuit to put into effect an identical law that the Fourth Circuit has already said is a bullshit law. And they're not going to step in to resolve this split, which means that in some instances, forced ultrasound laws are okay, and in others, it's not. And that's just not what the Supreme Court is supposed to do. The Supreme Court is supposed to step in and resolve circuit splits. And frankly, I'm personally offended because they have deprived me of the right to really just dive into this circuit split and get this shit resolved. And there's nothing more that I want than to get a goddamn circuit split resolved.
Seriously. Way to go, fellas.
Thanks. Thanks. You ruined my day, SCOTUS. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. And just so you know, this is going to be our episode for this week. So I wouldn't expect anything on Thursday. But next week, you can expect our year-end review. And it's going to be a barn burner. So, you know, go out and buy champagne and orange juice so you can sip mimosas with us while we go over all of that stuff. But if you would like to talk to me or Jessica about circuit splits or about Outlander, you can follow me on Twitter at Angry Black Lady. Actually, someone asked me for some recommendations for Outlander fan fiction, and I gave them to this person. So I feel like my Outlander outreach program is actually working.
It's multifaceted. We are servicey that way.
I mean, we are a full service podcast here, people. So me, at Angry Black Lady on Twitter, Jess, at Hegemommy, H-E-G-E-M-O-M-M-Y on Twitter. And you can follow rewire.news at rewire underscore news. And aside from that, Jess, what is going to happen?
We're
going to
see you on the tubes, folks.
We're going to see you on the tubes. Ah. Boom Lawyered is created and hosted by Jessica Mason Piclo and Imani Gandhi. Mark Folletti is our producer. And Jess is also the Rewire.news interim president and editor-in-chief.